Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Redmen TV and your match preview show. My name's Dan Clubb. I'm joined by Jamie and Lewis for this one. We're going to look ahead to Liverpool taking on Sparta Prague tomorrow night at Anfield, of course. And yeah, Liverpool have a 5-1 advantage heading into this. So yeah, we're going to speak about what that means, what that might mean for team news-wise and what it means basically just generally about how we're going to approach the game. And first and foremost, gentlemen, how are we doing? Okay?
Good.
Good, yeah. Good. Happy days.
Wonderful.
All the best
for
seeing you.
That's very nice. Not necessary, but not even nice.
Sarcastic either.
It sounds it now that you said that.
I sometimes sound sarcastic when I don't mean to be, but yeah. Good to see you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Good to see you.
I could see you too.
What a lovely start.
What a positivity in the room.
Wonderful. Loads of positivity in the chat as well. Jonesy, lad, saying morning. JD, likewise, morning. How are we? Yeah, we're all good. Honestly, everyone is feeling lovely this morning. I'm feeling the love back. Dave, likewise. A top of the morning from John Kelly. You can tell it's Cheltenham week with the Irish-isms coming out. It must be all going on. Frantic Fingers cannot wait for the end of season party. Yeah, you and me both. It's going to be an absolute
top DJ
ball. Who is the DJ? Have we heard yet?
DJ Cran.
DJ, is that your DJ
that
name?
The official title, yeah.
It's actually DJ Crandog is my official.
Is it?
It's not
Can
really
I be honest with you? I prefer just Cran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Crandog sounds a bit too. Yeah.
I think maybe.
Well, it's been working for me for like 10 years now. That isn't my DJ name.
Okay, anyway, sorry, we've got absolutely sidetracked.
We have.
Yeah, there is a game of football going on. And I guess actually how jovial we were just then might sort of play into our mood heading into this game because, Lewis, I mean, 5-1 advantage, like. In terms of job done, it doesn't really get much better than that in Europe, does it? And I guess we'll talk about sort of how the game panned out and stuff like that because 5-1, I think it's fair to say Matt flattered Liverpool, certainly sort of the four-goal disparity anyway. Listen, Liverpool deserved to win the game. Liverpool created the better chances. Certainly our finishing was far better. Keith Kelleher, who we're allowed to own, it was really good in goal and stuff like that. So Liverpool definitely deserved to win, but I think I sat here half-time in that game last week and said, this could be like 5-4 now. You know what I mean? And then it could have ended like 8-6 or something crazy. It was one of them types of games. But we've earned the right to be quite relaxed heading into this because of the job we did last week.
Yeah, we've put ourselves in a good spot. To be honest, I think I could do with the break off from the Premier League stress. It's just, we've always said, I love the Europa League. I think it's great, but it does feel like a sort of mellowed out, right, let's just go into this. Let's just enjoy it. 5-1, at home. One more game for an international break. I think we're in the perfect spot right now to be able to field a lot of the young lads. We discussed it. It was sort of like a 7.5 out of 10 performance, and we still managed to get the 5-1 win. So the fact that we can put in not our top effort and come away with that result away from home at a very volatile ground with a lot of rotation players having to come off the bench, you know, we did an exquisite job and we're in the best possible position going into this match, barring the clean sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, you know, Jay, obviously Darwin Nunez scores twice in that game. McAllister from the penalty spot, Luis Diaz to Bosley. Salah had one inexplicably ruled out for offside.
Yeah.
I'm nearly a week down the line now. I'm still none the wiser. That one didn't count. But ultimately, again, 5-1 result, 4-goal difference. You're not going to pick the bones out of why Salah's offside. It's not the Tottenham one from all that time.
Yeah.
But like Lewis alludes to there, like Liverpool, we've done the hard work essentially in this time now, and that then affords us a position of strength to be able to rest and rotate. People are talking in the comments here about, I don't want to see anyone from Sunday's game and stuff like that, and I get that, and we're allowed to do that now.
Yeah, well, I don't really know why you've invited me on, because I this time last week I was saying, I think it's going to be quite a cagey one, you know. I think maybe a 1-0, and it, like you say, it could have been 8-6. Yeah. So, yeah. I think in terms of job done, it would be probably the biggest European shock of all time if we weren't to go through. Like, it'd be, you know, it'd be like Barca PSG, but like they're worse. There's more. There's much more of a class disparity. So, touching all the wood, I don't think there's any way that we're not going to go through, no matter who we play.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been nice to have, like you were saying, like pretty much since that maybe that Arsenal game, the 1-1 round, every game's been like, we must win this game. It's just been
relentless, hasn't it?
And whereas this, it's like, I mean, I don't want us to lose, but if we just lost 1-0, or what, like, it's not the end, you know. If we, it's all about rotation. It's all about, I think it's going to be fairly similar to last week.
Yeah,
like, dictated by the sports science. This person needs minutes, this person needs a rest. You know, I see there's people in the comments there saying we don't want any of that 11 play. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to be seeing Musialovsky start, or, you know, Trey and Yoni start. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but there is going to be heavy rotation.
Yeah, there will be. I think it'd be a mixture, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, I think I still think they want to sort of carry on the momentum that we've managed to obtain over the past few weeks, and obviously heading to the Man United game at the weekend. The FA Cup, I'm not going to sort of class it as a priority, but I think the magnitude of that game on Sunday has gone up a notch or two, given the fact that Manchester United away. Yeah. Like, if it was, you know, with all due respect, Coventry, Anfield, you might be looking at both these games in terms of what we're saying. They've been quite relaxed and being like, we can sort of go into them feeling very calm and sort of almost whatever team we put out should be enough to get the job done, certainly when you consider the bench. But I think the Man United factor on the weekend does change things heading into this one. Maybe it means we do rest a couple more and stuff like that. But we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the teams we're going to be selecting in a moment. But before we do, Sparta actually beat them 4-0 on the weekend by Victoria Plzeň. Yeah, away from home, and they went down to 10 men during that game. So I guess as well, Lewis, like, it's about Sparta's approach here. Prior to what I've seen at the weekend in terms of their result, I would have thought they might come to Anfield and have a real good go. And they still might, of course they might. But they've all of a sudden got a very much to keep an eye on what's going on in their domestic league and stuff like that. So their approach, even on the back of that defeat, might be a bit like, oh, do we really want to sort of expend even more energy in what is essentially already a lost cause? Because without going all Sergio Busquets on it, Liverpool score once in this game, that's the end of the tie. So I do wonder whether that impacts their approach slightly.
I mean, possibly, yeah. And I think as well, you don't want to be the team who loses like 10-1 on aggregate or something like that. You know, that's just, it's humiliation, but it can have a detrimental effect on your season, like it would towards if we were in that same position. Yeah. There's, as much as I'd like to think they are going to go forward and create space behind by actually having a go, like you said, there's not too much point. I think they know they're out of the competition. They've got bigger fish to fry in terms of what they're trying to achieve in their league. This, for us, is just a good chance to not rest as such, but we don't have to go into second gear the whole match. I think if we were to control the game, slow down the tempo a bit, just have a, just play the sporadic rotation players and just rest the key players for the weekend against Man United. Like you said, for Sparta Prague, it's a difficult situation to be in. I think if the fixture was reversed and we were having to go to their ground in the second leg, they might give it a bit more of a go with the crowd behind them. I don't see them going all out. I think they're just going to try and damage control.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair enough. Yeah, and I think from our point of view, I think it's very similar, to be honest with you. And it might, someone mentioned a moment ago, it might play out a bit like a training ground game or a training sim. And it might well turn into that, Jay, because we're not going to want to go all guns blazing because of what's at stake. And listen, there might be some, we'll talk about the team selection again in a moment in terms of who could play. And there might be some lads in the round the fringes of the first team who want to stake a claim and want to be involved on Sunday potentially, or even further down the line. I think the youngsters, whoever comes in from the academy, they're going to give it their all because ultimately they're pulling on the shirt for the Liverpool Football Club. It's a dream come true, although some of them have done it handful of times now. They're still going to want to put in a shift, put in a performance and continue what they've already, the building blocks that they've laid. There's no doubt about that. But I do wonder whether there's a danger of this game just sort of petering out into nothing. Not that that's a danger, because from a Liverpool point of view, that's great news in a way. But it does feel like this could easily be, by the 60 minute mark, just be an absolute procession and people just passing around and keeping the ball and nothing really happens.
Yeah, I think in a way, we kind of all want that. I know, I mean, it'd be great to win 5-1 again, but assuming there's going to be rotation, I agree with your points on the FA Cup. I think if it was another team, it would be like, well, the FA Cup's not our priority. But I think now with the, I know we didn't beat City the other day, but there's this good momentum that we've got going on. I think people want to be like, let's let's batter Man U, and even though it's not the same competition, if we can beat them well at home, the bragging rights and all that, it just improves that mood around the club and the confidence of the players and the fans, and people can go to Anfield going, we're going to win this league, rather than having those little seeds of doubt that get sowed, like, oh, yeah, Arsenal are playing well, City are playing well, all that sort of thing.
Statement win.
I think I could see it petering out into something, you know, something resembling a training game. I mean, it's hard to know what they're going to do, because they, like, I didn't know that they'd lost 4-0 at the weekend. They lose heavily again, then it's like they're supposed to be winning the Czech League. Three heavy defeats in a row is you know, it probably doesn't happen to them very often. It'd be demoralising for them. They might rotate. They might think, well, look, we're already out. We don't want our star player getting injured, you know, whatever. I thought their right back was very good last, Preciado. He was he gave one away at the end, but I think he came out with quite a lot of credit.
No one?
We just had some honking outside.
No, it wasn't that. The right back was called?
Preciado.
And I said, he pressed well.
I just thought it was one of your insightful points.
It was the opposite of that. Sorry. So, apologies.
Are you too subtle for me, Dan?
It's like the car going past. It was like, yeah, great joke. Yeah.
Aaron laughed behind the producing desk. That's all that matters. I'll take that. Yeah, it may have been a sympathy after. Sorry, I completely interrupted.
Sorry. Preciado, but he did press well. Yeah. He's hard as well.
Yeah, he is. Anyway,
I can't remember what I was saying now. They might want to rotate themselves. I think, it's one of them where I think if they could say, let's not play this game and agree that it's 0-0. We'll just shake hands now and, like, you know, no one will get injured. I think that would actually be the best thing for Liverpool. Even if they score once or twice, let's not get drawn into some mad blood and thunder game. Like, let's just keep it fairly low-key, you know, keep the score down and give some experience to the likes of maybe McConnell and Clark, etc., and get some minutes into the legs of people like Tsimikas, who need a bit of time back in the team.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it is. There is going to be a balance of strike here in terms of the team selection and stuff like that. And not going 2 weeks, whereas you get beat or you end up having to chase the game, God forbid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because let's just say Nathan Rice makes the point, first goal is key. And it sounds daft heading into it with 5-1 advantage, but he's kind of right as well. Because let's just say, again, Sparta were to score within the first 5 minutes of the game, all of a sudden they're up for it, the fans are buzzing and stuff like that, and we've got to go, hang on, do we really want this? And you know what I mean? So I think game management is absolutely imperative from the first whistle in amongst this, and I think team selection plays a big part of that as well, of course. But there's no doubt about it, there will be a mixture of that youth elements, there will be a little bit of sort of getting lads up to speed and stuff like that ahead the weekend and even what's to come, because there are some people that will need some minutes. I think it will be very sports science led team selection. Just on that note as well, injury news wise, it was actually a good day for injury news yesterday. I don't know if you guys seen. Ibu and Stefan Bajetic both trained alone, but the fact that they're both training in any capacity is good news. Yeah. Ryan Gravenberch was outside but didn't get involved in training, which is something, I think it's fair to say. But moreover, it seems too soon for all of them, of course. But I think even on the flip side, that David Lynch reported that all of them are coming back sort of after international break. I think Jota and Alisson sort of be the week after that, or a couple of weeks after that, sort of early April time. So we're only three or four weeks away from having like all these lads back all of a sudden. So it's absolutely incredible news on that front. And I do wonder whether that plays a part in this, because as I mentioned, some players are going to need minutes. I think Salah and Szoboszlai fall into that category. Yep. Would you have Lewis? Would you have any of them two anywhere near your starting 11 for this?
Maybe not the starting 11, but I would have them on the bench as an option. Like you said, say Sparta get the first goal and then we're up against it, they get a second, and then maybe some of the heads start to drop from the young lads. We've not seen them in a Europa League knockout stage, so they might dip a bit. Having Salah and Szoboszlai, Robertson, who's just come back but didn't exactly look great in the last game, all these experienced heads to come on can make a difference. I'm not sure I'd necessarily start them, but there's no point in having them back from the injury if you're not going to be able to utilise them in some capacity. I'm not saying I want them to get like 90 minutes and run the heart out, there's no point, but it's having those players coming off the bench if the game is up against it is important. We've just got so much depth now and so many options, and there's such a good chance for these young lads to stake a claim within the first team. Yeah. Europa League knockout match against a volatile crowd. you know, 5-1 at home, it's such a great chance for them. Like you said, McConnell, Clark, Dan's, you know, so many great chances for them to come in. And while I don't think we're going to see, like you said, a full starting 11 of young lads, Simikas is going to start probably. We've only got 3 centre-back options at the minute, so 2 of them have to start. I do want to see a core group of young lads, and I want to see that energy that we saw against Southampton on display in Europe, because I think for all they've done this season, they deserve a European night at Anfield to show off what they can do.
No, 100% agree with that. And I want to touch on 2 more potential options, Jay, in terms of who could be, I guess, surprise starters in many ways. Somebody in the comment a moment ago, it was Felix there, mentioned Diaz and McInnes, the rest. Completely concur with that, by the way. I don't think they've anywhere near
Elliot as well.
Elliot, absolutely. And Joe Gomez in a sense as well, because although he's played in loads of different positions, he's played a lot of footy recently. Yeah. I guess a lot will depend for him in terms of what's to come next. If he might be having a break for a couple of weeks, if he's involved in international duty, he might have an impact on that as well, by the way. But he could well fall into the category of needing a rest. But I want to ask you about Cody Gakpo, Jay, because John Kelly raises the point here. He said it wouldn't do him any harm to score 1 or 2. Is there a school of thought then on someone like Gakpo, who I really like Cody Gakpo, but he is struggling for confidence, I think it's fair to say. And I think a lot of that is born out of playing in different positions and not getting a regular run in the side in any set role. Do you think there is something to him playing here? Because let's just say, you know, ideal world, he starts the game, gets 60, 70 minutes or whatever it may be, and comes off with 2 or even 3 goals. That feels like a bit of a dream scenario for Cody Gakpo.
I think there is definitely is a world where he starts. It wouldn't surprise, matter this might sound, it wouldn't surprise me to see Salah start, because they've agreed he's not going to that Egypt. They're playing in the UAE,
playing New Zealand or something like that. Yeah.
Was it more than one game, or was it just?
I think it was 2 games.
Yeah, I wrote about that the other week, and I was thinking, well, I don't actually mind that, because he can go and get his fitness in the UAE, bit of warm weather, you know, staying in a 7-star hotel or whatever, you know, however many stars they go up. Travel Lodge doesn't go up to 7 stars, does it?
No, it doesn't. No. I'm sure it goes up to 3, to be honest.
So I thought he could get a bit of fitness in there, fairly low stakes game against New Zealand, but he's not going to that now, and he obviously wasn't fit enough to start at the weekend. So I wouldn't be. I think it seems mad, but I wouldn't be surprised if the front three was Salah, Nunez and Gakpo. And that sounds too strong, but I don't think Nunez is, with a view of taking Salah and Nunez off at halftime, just purely for fitness-wise. I don't know if that's what the doctors are going to be saying or whatever. I would start Gakpo, I think, if he could, like you were saying in the comments, if he can get 1 or 2 goals. Yeah. Szoboszlai the same. I think he needs minutes. I don't know about Virgil. I don't want him in the team, but then, like you say, Gomez needs a rest, and we've only got 3 centre backs. And last week I was saying, oh, Virgil should start. I don't want Konate near. And like, look what's happened there.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, with any of these players in any game against Man U on Sunday, someone can just clear someone out and break someone's leg, or you know, do a Pickford, or you like touching all of them. So like, you can't completely avoid the risk in a contact sport, and people would be absolutely spitting feathers if Salah played in this and got injured. But then he's clearly not. Once we saw him against Sparta last week, we thought, right, that's him starting against City, and he's not starting, so he's clearly not quite ready.
Yeah.
So maybe he just needs a 45 here to, or a half an hour off the bench. But I think knowing him, he'd probably want to start, get his 2 goals, and then I'll, you know, get the ice pack on at half time.
No,
like that.
I think you're right, and you're absolutely spot on in terms of clearly he does need football at some point down the line. There's no two ways about that. And I'd be more surprised if he didn't feature at all tomorrow night, than he was to be honest. I think he will definitely get some minutes from somewhere, just whether he starts the game or not. Cop expert in the chat asking about, well, saying we really miss Curtis Jones. I completely agree with that, by the way. He's one of those I mentioned a moment ago who looks set to return from injury post international break, which is good news.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, it was really
Thiago not.
No, Thiago wasn't mentioned. Trent Alexander-Arnold was. He's in the same sort of time frame. He looks like he'd be back straight after international break as well. So yeah, positive. Brighton, of course.
This break's come at like a really good time.
Looks like that. Yeah, and somebody earlier on in the comments, I won't get it back up now, I mentioned the fact that positive injury news terrifies them, because they're worried that something else is going to happen. Like, two in, two out sort of scenario. You know? And I get that, but ultimately, positive be positive. Lonan asked, does Nalo get a run? He looks decent. I'm not sure about a run, to be honest with you, but I'll come to you on it, Lewis. You mentioned a moment ago, centre-halves. And Virgil van Dijk, I guess, is sort of the key component in this, because Konate is definitely not going to start the game. We're well aware of that. He might be involved on Sunday against Manchester United. We'll have to wait and see. But on Nalo, he is 17 years old, signed from West Ham in the summer. I think he was added to the list, so he can feature in this game. It feels like if there was going to be a game he was going to start, this might be it. But then on the flip side of that, Virgil van Dijk has done this captain thing in recent weeks, whereby he's been like, right, in for all intents and purposes, this is a game maybe I shouldn't be starting or shouldn't even be playing in, but I'm the captain, so I'm going to. How do you see it looking for this one?
Well, the Nalo, I was reading before, he's ineligible, apparently, Nalo, because you have to be on the, if you're on the B list, you're under 21s, but you've got to be at the club for 2 years.
Well, did we not add two players to that last week?
It was, maybe then, so it might
before,
be.
Sorry, before the away leg, we added two players. So yeah, so I think him and maybe Trey Anioni, because he was the same, came from Leicester, of course.
But I mean, if he can, then great. You know, it's, like you said, Van Dijk is the captain, but in that respect, as the captain, he should sort of see that the United game is the bigger fish to fry. No offence to Sparta, you know, it's still a tough tie, but the United game, it's an FA Cup, you lose that, you're out. It's Man United at Old Trafford. If for anything, he should be more up for that and willing to rest for this one. Like, if Nalo can play, fantastic, give him the go. We've seen all the other young lads have a go, partnering with someone like Kwanzaa, who at the moment he's been there, done it, or Gomez, you know, I know we want to see him rest, but like I said, we've only got so many options. It's such an awkward position to be in, whereby we've got so much midfield depth and now all of a sudden we're back to having nothing at the back. And the United game is the bigger target. We do need to rest people, but at the same time, if we make too many changes in that back line, are we going to see a deterioration in defence? Are we going to struggle a bit more against the side that proved against a very strong Liverpool defence last time that they can have a go of it and they can make a game of it?
No, this game's ideal for big Nath Phillips.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's pulling up trees at Cardiff alone at the moment.
I think
it's important to not just go full inexperience and just throw people to the wolves a little bit at the back, because I think we get hurt doing that. And not only did Liverpool get hurt doing that, and you're right in what you say about Sparta, definitely caused problems last week at the back, and Keller had to be at his best on numerous occasions. But in terms of what you do for the player, as well, and what his confidence, let's just say Nalo was to start this game tomorrow night, for argument's sake, if he has a dodgy 45 minutes, it happened to Billy Cometio a few years ago against Leicester, you have a dodgy time and all of a sudden people looking at you going, I'm not quite sure you're it, which is completely inaccurate, by the way, because he's 17 years old, so you shouldn't be judging people based on that, but it's easily done, and if it happens, it just wouldn't be great, we've been really good at developing these youngsters and sort of dropping them in at the right time when they're ready and stuff like that. You don't just want to throw someone to the wolves.
Well, we saw it in the group game earlier this season. Again, was it, I can't remember who it was. Was it Union SG?
Or
yeah, like we fielded like a really young side in the Europa League group and we lost the game like 3-1 or 2-1 or something.
Was it the Jimmy in the final one?
I think it was the final one or something, and they just got battered that day and everyone was like, they're not good enough. So you're right, you can do it.
You've got to be very careful, absolutely. KJSJ7, is Dan's like concussion protocol? We haven't heard anything from Jaden Dan's. I know he hasn't featured for any of the youth sides in the past week or so either, so there is a chance he is still struggling with that. Be interesting to see. Obviously, Klopp's press conference is later on today, and the player. We're not actually sure what time at the moment, but that will be coming later on this afternoon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We've also asked Wayne's Ryan Gravenberch back. He falls into the category from earlier. Him and Curtis Jones expected back immediately after international break. Maybe even sooner for Gravenberch, but I do doubt it at this point. Dom Lear asks, what about the Polish Messi Muzlihowski? Yeah, he has all of a sudden forced his way back into the first team frame, I think it's fair to say. He's been out of it for quite some time, and he nearly left in the summer. He nearly headed back to Poland on a transfer back there. But it feels like he's put a lot of hard work in and he's playing really well again for the unders and stuff like that. And he was on the bench last week, I think, for the first team. So yeah, we could well see a bit of Muzlihowski in this one.
I could see him coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Probably not starting.
No, he looks like he's learned a lot. He was a very individualistic player for a long time, and he's got loads of skill, by the way, loads
of
talent.
It's tricky, no pun intended. We're getting back to pressing again here, aren't we? With him, every clip you'd ever see of him, he'd be like beating four people and curling one into the top corner. So you're like, well, when's this guy playing?
Yeah.
And then you don't see him. I saw him at Anfield and they played Arsenal, I think it was the under-18s, and he was clearly the best player on the pitch. He might have scored one or two, but he came off on about 60 minutes. And then it's like, you just don't see him.
It's the problem with those YouTube highlight videos is they can take the best of everything and make them look world class. Like, it doesn't do any favours, really.
Yeah. Because, again, there's a lot more to football than that, I guess. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, Messi, be Messi. But at the same time, like, you've got to understand systems and the way to play and stuff like that. Cool. Right, with all that in mind, then, it is time to try and pick an 11 for this game. It might not be easy, it might not be particularly straightforward, but let's give it a go. We've all mentioned the potential rotation, the potential for some lads to need minutes. I think we all want to be strong enough to win and not make life difficult for ourselves. I think that's fair to say. So, Jamie?
I was going to ask, is Adrian in the squad?
Adrian could feature.
Yeah, he's the backup, I think.
Right, okay. I know we got taken out. A reverse Pickford scenario with Kelleher. We can't lose Kelleher. Like, people were saying that last week, weren't they? I don't want Kelleher. What if Kelleher gets injured?
For the FA Cup game? Or the Sparta game?
For the Sparta game last week. Like, you know, I know he's good around the squad and all that, Adrian, but he's not, like, he hasn't forgotten how to be a goalkeeper. Would either of you not play Kelleher is what I'm asking.
Horses for courses, I guess. I think Kelleher, as much as I've got nothing against Adrian particularly, he's not been a keeper for us starting in a while. Kelleher's on really good form. We've only got one more game after this until the international break. I see no reason to really drop Kelleher when he was so key in the last match in particular.
Okay, interesting. John is back in your Adrian shout as well. I think Rosek is the other one who could be involved in terms of goalkeepers anyway. But
when someone absolutely 2 foot Kelleher, I'll be messaging.
Right. Well, it's not me doing it, is it?
No. Yeah, it is.
Essentially, it is.
Right.
Okay, I would be Kelleher. By the way, for what it's worth, I would definitely be keeping.
Go on, give Dan grief. Go on.
And you can't.
Why, Dan?
You can't, like. Your point before, in terms of sports science, is one thing, but in game action's another, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can't sort of.
He's played really well.
He's been brilliant. Yeah. You can't prepare for what could happen in game, but I think you've just got to go with Kelleher and sort of back him to be okay. I think he's been absolutely outstanding as well, so you want to keep up his sort of momentum and the way he's playing. Back four, then, Lewis?
Oh, it's difficult. I think Tsimikas has nailed on left back. He didn't feature in the City game. I think he's going to start. Robertson will probably play against United. It's difficult because who started right back, like Gomez or Bradley? Because whoever starts tomorrow is probably not going to start against United. And I'd rather Bradley against Man United personally. So I think Gomez at right back, but then you've got Van Dijk and Kwanzaa as centre back. And it's really difficult to tell, really.
It's hard with the centre backs because, like, if we had a Matip there or whatever, you could go, oh, this one's for Kwanzaa.
Mm.
But then he's played 99 minutes in a high-intensity football match on Sunday. As soon as Konate went off last week, I was messaging my mate saying, I think Kwanzaa's going to start against City. This was before this chat about, as did Gomez come off injured? I just saw, because he hasn't been playing Gomez at centre-back, he will want to keep that continuity of Kwanzaa as centre-back.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, we don't really want him having another 90 minutes in a game that's all, you know, a tie that's over, essentially over. So that's not really answered the question.
Not at all, by the way.
I've forgotten anyone who can sort of go, like, is Scanlon still in the squad or something?
Scanlon's injured. He fractured his foot a couple of weeks ago,
I mean, is there no one who could, we've seen Badge Titch as a makeshift right back, Curtis Jones, is there anyone who could go there, like,
to fill the gap? The only football that springs to mind in that sense would probably be Vitalo Endo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
it's not going to be him. And in terms of youngsters, again, it's not made any easier by injuries, first and foremost, but also the lists and stuff like that and who you've got to be eligible for and things. So it's a really, really complicated one. It's almost so complicated that I think the team will be stronger than we might hope.
Yes.
I
think he might do Bradley, Van Dijk, Kwanzaa.
Tsimikas,
and then bring Bradley off on about 50 or 60 and put Gomez on. I think he might, I'd like to rest ideally both the centre-backs, but I don't.
Yeah,
we're
maybe
not in that.
This, I like how you had a quite detailed discussion about a 17-year-old lad I haven't heard of before, so I need to do my own. What's he called? Niallo?
Amar Niallo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a good player, by the way.
He's the lad who's playing in the under-21s even when he was 16.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's obviously got some ability. So let's say we're 2-3-0 up or something. Maybe you could, as Lonan just said, I'm trying to desperately read that.
Oh, sorry, I see. Right,
said Niallo and Kwanzaa that maybe we could finish the game, like, you know, last half an hour, say, go on, I know you're only 17, but we're not conceding seven. So go on, you know, maybe something like that. I don't know.
A back four. That feels like a back four.
Yeah.
And again, I think you mentioned there, Conor Bradley, starting with a view to getting him off later on in the game. I think Virgil van Dijk falls into that category as well.
Yeah.
Who knows? We might have Ibu Konate available for the weekend. I don't think that's out of the question necessarily yet. So all of a sudden, you might be asking Quanta to go 90 tomorrow night, but not on Sunday, because you can get half an hour out of Ibu on Sunday. So yeah. And also, you know, we are on the brink of an international break here. So asking some lads, Virgil van Dijk falls into this category a little bit as well, like asking some lads to maybe go that little bit more for the next few days isn't the end of the world necessarily, let's put it that way.
The friendlies, UEFA teams playing friendlies?
Yeah.
It's not like Nations League?
I don't think so.
Right, because maybe there could be a little where, is Koeman still the manager of Holland?
Yeah.
He did have those red Christmas decorations, didn't he? Maybe he could just put a little word in and go,
do us a favour,
can
Ron,
you take Verge off, or, you know, not absolutely hammer Verge, please, Ronald. Yeah. You know, your secret red.
Don't think there's much secret about it. Not ask Evertonians, I don't think there's much secret about it. Okay, moving on to midfield then. In that case, I think we've just about boxed the back five there with a little bit of discretion. How do we see the midfield looking then, Lewis? Because it's a little bit more straightforward, I guess, than the back line, because there are a few more options in the round. How do you think we're going to go?
I think Bobby Clark starts. I think that's a fair assessment. He's been played really well whenever he's been on. CDM, I mean, McConnell, maybe. He's the only one I can really see. Like, Badge Titch isn't fit yet.
No,
I wouldn't risk him at all. Endo, as much as he can run and run, he needs a break, especially after that City game. I think McConnell, Bobby Clark, and maybe Szoboszlai, something about it, you know, get him a bit of fitness and then take him off at halftime for someone like, maybe not Elliot, but maybe McAllister, or maybe Elliot, or maybe one of the young lads again, something along those lines.
Yeah, no, you know, that'd be my midfield.
Yes, I me too. I think Szoboszlai needs a bit more minutes. Same situation with our friend Niallo, who I know
just
a lot.
Niallo.
Who I know a lot about. You could maybe, if you know, I'm expecting the tie to be absolutely done on 60. You could maybe see Unioni or someone of that vein coming on for Szoboszlai. We could end up with a genuine, like, Grange Hill team at the end of the game. But, you know, that if we're massively up on aggregate, then that's not going to matter.
Yeah, also, what that midfield three does as well is it offers that rotation that we're all asking for, and it gives minutes to Szoboszlai, but also it gives you a bit of experience in there in terms of Szoboszlai and stuff like that. So, and also we've seen McConnell play a fair bit, and he's held his own, more than capable. Bobby Clark likewise. So it is, it's like the perfect blend of what we're talking about. Yeah. It's keeping the big guns, your McAllisters, your Endos well rested, and it's also giving you, for me, enough strength to hold its own against the Sparta Prague side. So that feels like the perfect blend. And as you mentioned there, I don't think Szoboszlai's got 90 in him, so I'd definitely be looking to get Trey and Yanni, or even McAllister. If McAllister needs half an hour to keep ticking over the weekend, so be it, something like that. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
I'm getting a bit of shade here from Lonan C.
I mean,
ex Talksport mod. It's got it.
I think it's just loaning.
It's got an accent on it, so you've got to stress the vowel, haven't you?
You stress something.
Lonan. Yeah.
I actually think it's getting worse.
It might be getting worse.
I'm going to leave it.
Might be getting worse, yeah. JD. Sorry, apologies, Mr. C, ex-Talksport. I was going to say, I keep seeing these things popping up on screen. I was going to say possibly Kumas left wing.
Yeah. Well, this takes us nicely onto the front line. I think your saving grace to get us away from what you were talking about a
moment ago. Friend, yeah.
Front line, what we expected. Somebody earlier on, and forgive me again, it's miles away in the chat, said Cade Gordon, Jaden Danz again, protocol concussion wise permitting, and Lewis Kumas. Lewis, would you be a million miles away from that?
I think, like you said, Cade Gordon, the protocol might not let him. Danz, sorry, got mixed up. Yeah, Danz. So if he's not, then, like you said, I just think Gakpo needs the game. He's in such an awkward spot where, despite Salah being out, despite Jota being injured, he still can't really force his way as a cemented first team player. Obviously, Salah's back now, so it's tougher. He just hasn't quite hit the heights since maybe January. This game would be good for him. Start him. Kumas on left wing, I've got no problem with whatsoever. And then right wing, yeah, maybe Cade Gordon might be a good shout. Give him a bit of experience. He's only been getting the sort of last minutes of games recently, so maybe give him a chance. And if we absolutely have to, Salah could come on later on, or Gakpo could go right wing maybe, and then bring Danz on if he's eligible to play. There's a lot of young options up front.
Yeah, there certainly is. Yeah, and again, we've seen glimpses of a lot of these, and they've more than proved to be good enough to feature in these types of games in particular, Jay. So I don't think there's any wrong answer necessarily in all of this. As we spoke about earlier, I would be definitely all in on Cody Gakpo.
Yeah,
getting a decent chunk of the minutes. I think he needs them, not just in terms of rhythm and in terms of playing football, but I think he just needs, as I said earlier, that little confidence boost heading into the break. What would be you settling on?
Rather than what I would do, I just think we will see Mo Salah.
Yeah,
because saying, because he's not going to this international thing, they'll either for 45, maybe 60 at a push.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him starting or coming off the bench, one of the two. We ended up in this situation last week where you're like, oh yeah, take him off, do this. And it's like, yeah, we can't make eight subs. Klopp hasn't managed to get eight subs through yet, has he? I would start Gakpo. I could see Kumas starting on the left. Maybe something like Salah, Gakpo. But as I said before, I could maybe see Nunez as well if they think Nunez needs a little bit more time.
That would shock me, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
That would be the one that shocked. I mean,
did he do 90 the other day?
Came off again.
He came.
Diaz did that all 90, didn't he?
Yeah, Diaz, I don't want anywhere near it.
No.
Nunez has done, he's done two fairly long stints, so maybe maybe they are happy with him.
Okay. This is an interesting team. Bamalam says, could be Kelleher, Bradley, Gomez, Kwanzaa, Tsimikas, McConnell and Clark. And Szoboszlai as well, obviously. Salah, Gakpo, Kuman. I'd go along with that, to be honest. The only one Salah would be my query amongst that. I do wonder, as much as Salah might need, 60 minutes, for example, I just wonder whether, because of the state of the game, we just go, I know you probably could do with it, but we're not going to give you it. Yeah, we're going to give you it. If it was 1-1 or in the balance, if it was 2-1, I think this could be a game whereby they might give Salah 60. But because of the fact it's 5-1, it's all but over and stuff like that, I just wonder whether they'd say, yeah, but we're just going to be a little bit extra cautious and give you 20 minutes, half an hour at the end instead. But remains to be seen. It's going to be really interesting.
A lot of averages with these, though, these type of games, there's always one person when you're like, whoa, they're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, and I think that will probably be Salah.
Okay.
We're operating under the idea as well that against United, we're going to field an all-strength starting 11. He might rest players for that game.
Yeah.
We've seen him do it in the FA Cup. He might play a lot of the young lads for that match and maybe go a bit gung-ho in this game. Like, because we're in an awkward... If it was the league this weekend, we know we'd be playing the strongest squad. Because it's an FA Cup game, there's no guarantee on anything.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I know where my... Which basket my eggs?
Yeah,
to be honest with you. Chimera says Dan's will play. And again, I think Dan's... will definitely feature, providing he's allowed to, given that concussion. A lot of people in the chat talk about Nyalo and Trey and Yoni. And I did see somebody tweet, I've been trying to find it a moment ago, before the first leg, somebody said that we'd added two of our youngsters to the B list because they needed to be. And I guess that's the point you can before the knockout stuff starts.
Right.
Because they needed to be because they hadn't been the club long enough to warrant being on the B list, as you rightly said earlier. And the only two that could possibly really be are Trey and Yoni and the Marinello, because signed from Leicester and West Ham, respectively. But I will look into that a little bit more detail as the afternoon goes on, and then just hold that information as my own and not tell anyone. Sounds, that's cool. Let's have a quick look at the Europa League generally then and what's happening in that case. Rangers against Benfica tomorrow night, early kickoff. 2-2 in aggregate. Yeah, I think Rangers were 2-0 up at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, you've got your Benfica shorts on there as well.
I do, actually. Yeah, that was purely by chance. Somebody mentioned earlier on, I don't own any trousers, just exclusively shorts. Slavia Prague, AC Milan 4-2 up in that one. You expect
that
AC
looks over, doesn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of over, Marseille 4-0 up against
Villarreal. I missed that last week.
Yeah, the Villarreal, former European masters at times under Unai Emery, not anymore, it feels like. This is nicely poised. Freiburg 1-0 up away from home against West Ham United. Wouldn't mind Freiburg getting through that, to be honest. Yes. I hate playing Premier League opposition. Atalanta, this is also nicely poised against Sporting Lisbon, 1-1 back in Italy for the second leg. By Leverkusen, Karabag, Jay, this. By Leverkusen, obviously under Xabi Alonso, someone we're keeping a very close eye on for lots of reasons. For a while there,
2-0 down.
And obviously not just that and the implications of what that might have meant, but that might have been sort of his first defeat for forever, essentially, by Leverkusen managed. That would have been a big shock.
It definitely would, I mean, even though you probably consider them to be one of the weakest teams, I didn't want to draw them because it's like, just have you seen Azerbaijan? Don't look Azerbaijan up on the map. It's a long way away. And it's one of those ones where it's like you just kind of get out of dodge and get them back to your place and then, you know, try and win the second leg, which has ended up what Leverkusen have done, because I think it was a late equaliser, wasn't it? I mean, I think the narrative gods would love the Leverkusen Klopp final.
Absolutely.
I mean, I kind of wanted them to go out. I thought, I don't mind taking the coward's way through.
You can keep your narrative.
draw the worst team in the hat every round. Your name still goes on the trophy if you win it.
But that's part and parcel of when you're doing what we're currently doing and going for all four trophies that you're competing in.
Yeah.
Because you're right, you don't want difficult draws on the way, because that just makes your task all the more impossible, essentially. You know what I mean? So you're right. If by late, when they were 2-0 down, there was definitely a bit of me going, as much as I love Xabi Alonso and would like to see him become next Liverpool manager, there was a lot of me going, oh yeah, go on. Yeah. They can get dumped out by all means.
They're, I think, probably the best team after us left in the competition.
There's good teams, isn't it? Like Marseille.
Roma have started getting something together with De Rossi. So that would be, I mean, they're 4-0 up on Brighton.
That's the last one we need to talk about.
Although we're better, we're obviously better than West Ham. I wouldn't really like to draw West Ham. I'd like Freiburg to get, that would be a lot of booing at, I was going to say, the Berlin ground, but that's not where they play anymore.
No.
Where do they play? The London Stadium.
The London Stadium, that's soulless stadium, that is.
Yeah, I've never been, actually. I went to Upton Park, which to watch Liverpool lose 3-1 under Kenny Dalglish. Okay. It was a bit of a sad day. I can't remember what I was saying. I wouldn't like to draw. I hope West Ham go out.
Likewise. And also Freiburg, German club, and Germany's just boss. Roma 4-0 up against Brighton Hove Albion, second leg at Brighton, so they're going to have to move heaven and earth to try and overturn that one. My wonderful producer Aaron has found the article that I was talking about, and it is actually Muzrowski and Jaden Danz who have added to the B list. So it looks like Trey Nioni is mentioned in the monks list. That is why neither Trainioni or despite, yeah, okay. So, yeah, signed from Leicester and West Ham. They would have to take up a List A spot. Okay. So, yeah, Mazowski and Dan. So, yeah, the centre-back issue is definitely a centre-back
You'll have
issue.
To explain this therefore. To me after we finish, because yeah. I'm working on, like, Football Manager 2012 sort of level where if you were an academy player, you could play. You could have, like, unlimited in the European games, but that's clearly not
the case anymore.
Not the case anymore, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Sound, finally then, we've done the Europa League fixtures. The draw, that's what I was going to touch upon before we go. A few people mentioned Sporting, you've actually mentioned Roma. Obviously, we know about Bayer Leverkusen and stuff like that. The draw is on Friday. We'll be covering it live in studio, as ever, with the wonderful Chris Pajak, stroke fake Ranieri. ideal... Lewis, scenario for you? I mean, let's just concentrate the ones who are most definitely through. Your 4-0 uppers, your AC Milans of this world. Who do you want out of them? Because it's going to get difficult, I think, straight away after this. This Sparta draw, this Sparta tie feels like the last easy one, in inverted commas.
I mean, like you said, Freiburg, if they get through, that's probably one of the ideal ones. Like you said, there's a narrative. When Klopp's first season in the Europa League, we got Dortmund. That just felt like a story. Everyone, like, you know, AC Milan would be a nice story. Bayern Leverkusen would be a nice story. Don't want to be anywhere near them. I want Freiburg, or I want whoever the next worst team is. Like, I want the Man City approach the cups. I want to get the easy teams and get to the final. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I'd love to see a big match, big occasion, like a big noise, not for me.
I think Ollie Red mentions, I think the winner of this tie might be the answer to your who's next after Freiburg question. Benfica or Rangers, potentially.
I mean, I'd love Rangers. Yeah, that'd be a great match.
I know the UEFA, somebody mentioned a moment ago in the chat, UEFA absolutely bricking it about the possibility of a Rangers-Liverpool final in Dublin.
Yes.
Which I get. Because that is a nightmare. So, I mean, they've made a rod for their own back in not putting the bigger stadium in the first place, which feels crazy to me. But it would be problematic, properly problematic, if Rangers Liverpool were in Dublin together at the same time. Like, all the best. That would be utter, utter mayhem.
Oh, God. You can imagine it, actually, can't
crazy.
You?
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. And that finally brings us to our last talking point, which is prediction time, I think I'm right in saying. So... having said all of that stuff for the past 40 minutes, Jay, what are we going to say?
2-1 to Liverpool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lewis? It's 40 minutes flew by. I'm going to say 3-2.
It could literally be anything. It could really be anything, couldn't it? Based on, if it's anything like last week's game as well.
Yeah. Read a couple of predictions in the chat as well. Sonny goes for a 3-1, the famous goal of this season. Your mate...
Lonan.
Goes 2-0. Jones, you'll add 3-0 Liverpool. Stefan, 4-2. Do you know what? I think 4-2 might be a really good shout. Yeah. I don't think I've ever said that in my life about a game of 4-2. That's a mental scoreline to predict. Yeah. But I think it might be right. 2-2 says JD. 2-0 says Philip. Supernova, you never walk alone. 2-2. Ben, Mikey says Benfica will wake up and turn over. Yeah, quarterfinal reunion for Nunes. Good shout. Dave says 3-0 Gakpo.
Either of the Lisbon clubs would be a great away.
I don't really want Sporting because of the narrative.
Well,
of
I mean, in terms of the fact that Lisbon's absolutely belted.
Yeah, that's just so many different stories that could happen. Yeah, like, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. I was going to mention Marseille in terms of being sort of one of the more potentially straightforward ties in terms of quality. But again, the trip to Marseille is a little bit moody as well. Yeah. I'm not sure I fancy that. Loads of people have been saying Gomez to score throughout the show. We should mention that. And also, right at the end here, we've got 3-2 prediction. And hopefully Gakpo scores. That's kind of one of my biggest hopes from this. Listen, I hope Liverpool go through plain sailing without any problems whatsoever and win the game ultimately as well. But I think Gakpo getting on the score sheet would be a really sort of nice boost for him and us for what's to come. Absolutely wonderful stuff. That was amazing. We stopped talking about what we meant to be talking about 6 times.
Yeah.
Again, I said it right at the top of the show. It just reflects how relaxed we are. Yeah.
This is a holiday, essentially.
Yeah, we've got to enjoy it. I mean, it's been relentless footy for like the past, what feels like 8 years. And every game has so much riding on it time and time again to go into a game which is quite relaxed and we can just have a joke,
just enjoy the football,
and we might get to see some youngsters and rest some lads and get some mum. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Sound, thank you all for interacting as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'll be back tomorrow night with two people that have completely slipped my mind for watch along and uncensored match build up and post match shows as well as ever. I'll see you all then. Take it easy.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.